Ekadina salyana benjan panchasat sakamocha ganta brishto patola nimbopat limbo adha kanda dadhi dukta kanta sar salagame samarpilen bahu upahar.
Getting hungry reading all this.
One day my mother Sachi offered food to Shalagram Vishnu. She offered rice cooked from Shali paddies, various kinds of vegetables, spinach, curry made of banana flowers, fried potol with nimba leaves, pieces of ginger with lemon, and also yogurt, milk, sugar candy, and many other foods. Prasad loya kole kore na kandan nimayir priyo mor esava banjan. Taking the food upon her lap, mother was crying to think that all that food was very dear to her nimai. Nimai nahik eta ke kore bhojan mor dhyane astu jale. My mother was thinking, Nimai is not here. Who will accept all this food? As she meditated upon me in this way, her eyes filled with tears. Sigro jai muhi sab korinu bakan sunya patra deki asu koriya marjan. While she was thinking and crying, I immediately went there with great haste and ate everything. Seeing the dish empty, she wiped her tears away. Ke adna bhyanchan kailo, sunu kene pat, bala gopal kiba kailo, sab bhat. She then began to wonder who had eaten all the food. Quote, why is the plate empty, she wondered, doubting that bala gopal had eaten it all. Kiva mora kothai mone brahma hoya gelo kiva kono bajantu asi sakala kailo. She began to wonder whether there was actually anything on the plate in the first place. Then again she thought that some animal might have come and eaten everything. Kiva ami anna patra patre brahme na borilo ato chinta pak patra jaya dekilo. She thought perhaps by mistake I did not put any food on the plate. So thinking she went to the kitchen and saw the pots. Anna bhyanchan purna deki sakala bhajane deki asang soi hoilo kichu chamotkar mone. When she saw that all the pots were still filled with rice and vegetables, there was some doubt in her mind, and she was astonished. Ishane bolaya punastana lepailo punarapi gopal ke anna samarpilo. This wondering, she called Ishana, the servant, and had the place cleaned again. She then offered another plate to Gopal. E mata jabe koren uttamarandan more kawai te kore utkantaya rodan. Now whenever she prepares some good cooked food and wants to feed it to me, she cries in great anxiety. Tar preme ani amai korai bhojane antare manai ye sukh bhaje mahimane. Being obliged by her love, I am brought there to eat. Mother knows all these things internally and feels happiness, but externally she does not accept them. Ebijai dasamite hoilo erito eriti taha ke pujiyatar korai ho pritite. Such an incident took place in the last Vijayadasami day. You can ask her about this incident and thus make her believe that I actually go there. While describing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little overwhelmed, but just to finish bidding farewell to the devotees, he remained patient. Mother Sachi ki, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. The love of mother is deeply respected in the Vedic culture. Krishna has his eternal mother, Mother Yasoda, and so many other mothers. Lord Chaitanya's mother Sachi, Ramchandra, Mother Kaisalya. The kindness of the mother, especially these divine universal mothers who personally were the mother of God, they are giving so much love and affection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as loving mothers give to their children, but when the child is the Supreme Lord, then it also becomes a pure, direct devotional service. Of course, even when mothers care for their children who may not be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they give their love and affection, Prabhupada said that's also an important factor. He was once talking to, I think it was Malati, when she had little Saraswati, and told her that you should, why do you take care of your child? So it's my duty. And he said, no, it's because you love your child. And because you love your child, you want to give the best to your child. And the best is Krishna consciousness. It was also interesting that when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, which of course has many deep meanings, was also predicted. It was also a reciprocation that for some time Sita was sent to the forest. So this time Ram came again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and sent himself to the forest to reciprocate with that. So this going to the forest business is traumatic for somebody every time it happens. In this case, for Vishnu Priya and Mother Sachi. While Chaitanya's going to the forest was very traumatic. Lord Chaitanya was happy in serving Krishna in separation. Like that we heard Sita was happy in the forest. But Ram, he was suffering separation, feeling guilty all the time, bad. Perfection of motherhood is when one can be a mother of the Supreme Lord. That's one of the very rare mercies, to be a parent of the Lord. (Clears Mother Sachi, when she was caring for great Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was just a little toddler. He was demanding something from his mother. The mother Sachi didn't give him. Didn't think it was good for him. Then he got angry and hit his mother. Then Mother Sachi fell unconscious, lying on the ground. Of course, little baby can't hit the mother hard enough to cause unconscious, but she was making a drama. And all the other mothers there, all the other ladies, chastised Lord Chaitanya, little Nimai, that you should never hit your mother. Now look what you've done. Then he's crying, Mommy, Mommy, come back, come back. I'm sorry. So now she's unconscious. The only way you can bring her back is you have to bring a coconut. So then Lord Chaitanya ran out of the house, little toddler ran out. They thought, where's the little toddler going to find a coconut? But then he came right back with two coconuts. All the ladies are wondering, how did he do it? How is it possible? Of course, for the Supreme Lord, nothing's impossible. But there's, normally it's not possible for a baby to just find a couple of coconuts, so next 2 minutes come back. So then when the coconuts were given, Mother Sachi regained her consciousness, and then Nimai promised, I'll never hit you again, never hit her again. Sometimes little babies kick their mother, right? They're lying down, they're kicking, they're hitting. But the mother doesn't get envious about the child. Similarly, we was discussing with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj this morning. The one part of the Guru, he's also a father, but he's also like a mother in caring for the devout disciples and the devotees. There's a certain, both sides are there. So, also wished him obeisances on regards and Happy Mother's Day for this motherly aspect. Right, how many of you feel that sometimes he's care was almost of a motherly nature? Fathers tend to be disciplining and more firm, but then the mothers tends to be more compassionate and emotional. So those two aspects are there. That's why everybody was shocked in the Ramayana when Kaikeya banned Ram to the forest. It was totally out of role as a mother. Dasaratha had three wives, but they were all treated, all the children, like their own. It was everyone, in fact, just completely treating with love and affection everyone. That's when she asked, she got contaminated by bad association from her hunchback servant. Was it Mantara? So then Bharat, her son, refused to accept the ordination, the what do you call coronation. In fact, said he went with the entire city of Ayodhya to beg Ram to accept the kingdom. That if Ram was going to be in the forest, the whole Ayodhya would go with him to the forest. And but then Ram, he said, it's not reasonable that the whole Ayodhya be in the forest, and I won't be in the forest anymore. I'll be in Ayodhya. I had to do this. This is my dharma. So he gave him the pair of shoes. He said, you put these on the throne. And you manage the kingdom on behalf of me, and my shoes will be there. So Nandi then, Bharat, he decided that he won't stay in Ayodhya either. He said, if my brother's in the forest, and I won't be in the city. So outside of Ayodhya, in a little village called Nandigram, he set up the, he lived in a grass hut, not a royal palace, and he put the shoes of Ram on the throne. Then he went to his, to Kaikeya and told her, and since you're the wife of my father, you're my queen. Queen Mother, but since what you've done, you are no longer my mother. So it's interesting. Being a mother is also a big responsibility. The true mother acts for the interest of the child. Sometimes materialistic mothers, they act for their own interest. But a real qualified mother will be act for the interest of the child. Just like in that parable, what's it called, parable by about Solomon and the two mothers. And said, okay, I'll cut the baby in half, give half to each. And one said, okay, that's a good idea. And the other mother said, no, give it to her then. And he knew that this was the real mother, because the real mother never wanted to see the child cut. The other one was an envious lady. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya, somehow or another, he took sannyas. Mother Sachi knew that if my son took a vow of sannyas, you can't go back on that vow. It would be a disgrace for him. So although it was like almost like death for her, her life and soul was to be always serving her son and caring for him. But since he took sannyas, then she couldn't demand that he leave it, because it wouldn't be good for his interest. Even though it was maybe not in the interest of Mother Sachi, but she was caring more about her own, about her son's interest. These are mothers are the first guru. mothers and fathers, but especially the mother, teaches, talks to the baby more. The language we learn from our mother, our mother tongue. So, when Lord Chaitanya, father decided that he may take sannyas like his brother Visvarupa if he is educated, so better we don't educate him. Then Lord Chaitanya became exceedingly naughty as a young boy. So one day he was standing on top of the garbage pile of all the pots behind the house of Mother Sachi. In those days, they would cook in clay pots, which are biodegradable, ecologically friendly, and disposable. It would also give an employment to these potters who would every day make pots. People would buy them for a small fee, cook the pots, and there would be no dishwashing. Dishwashing is a modern invention. Before, they'd eat off a banana leaf, which is also biodegradable, and they'd throw it. In the Shastra, I read that different kinds of plates, which are better for worshipping Krishna. And it said that the best plate is a lotus leaf. Then after lotus leaf comes a gold plate. So if you have lotus leaves, it's better than gold. Then after the gold plate comes a banana leaf. Then next best after that is a silver plate. Then after that, there's a copper. Though it sometimes reacts with certain kinds of food. Then there's clay plate. But in the Vedic culture, porcelain plates, they would use once and then throw. Your mother, if you did that with her expensive china, she might not appreciate. But they didn't use the highly glazed, it would be a rough terracotta clay plate. Oh, after the lowest plate, after, then before, just, was iron. Nowadays we have stainless steel, which is basically iron. That'd be the lowest after all the others. Of course, they have also many aluminum and things which are not even on the list. Those don't make it. So because these are all, this is where they throw all the used clay pots and leaf plates and things. They dig a hole in the back and then fill it up and then they cover it with dirt again and dig another hole. And then over a period of time it'll decompose. But then Lord Chaitanya is standing there and Mother Sachi says, "What are you doing? You're standing on top of this. This is a dirty place. You're a Brahmin boy. You shouldn't stand in the garbage pile." And then Nimai said, "Well, how do I know what's clean or what's not clean, what's suchi, what's asuchi? You're not sending me to school." I don't have any education. I'm an illiterate Brahmin boy who doesn't know anything. So how do I know that? What is clean or unclean or suci, asuci? Another mother, Sachi, still said, well, still trying to insist, but she was not able to defeat Lord Chaitanya's argument. So finally she went to Jagannath Mishra and discussed with him that this is not working, we had to send him to school, whatever the risk may be. So in the Vedas it says that the wife is actually the intelligence of the husband. She gives some good advice. Husband should take the good advice. He has to make the ultimate decision in a traditional family. Of course, nowadays people may make their own agreement how they want to do it. But in Krishna consciousness, we're also grateful for our parents. When I see children being cared for by their parents, I think, gee, just think how my mother was taking care of me and I was such a naughty boy. And how parents put so much love and affection and care for their children that we owe them so much, we're indebted. In Bombay, in the Bhaktivedanta school, they teach the students that they should bow to their parents when they get home in the afternoon. They should touch the feet of their parents. At one point, the management there decided they wanted to close the school. And the parents went on strike with placards and their, so they somehow called me in as a, because I'm not involved in Bombay, as a mediator. So I discussed with the both, and the parents said, you know, this is the only school in Bombay where they teach the children to respect their parents. Do you know how it feels when you see your children chanting Hare Krishna, when they come home and bow down, touch your feet, we see them reading from Bhagavad Gita and so many things, memorizing slokas. I want to tell you, we take it that if your closure of this school is a direct violence on our children, you're doing so much good for our children. You keep this school open, we'll do anything for you. If you close this school, we will give our last blood to see that you're destroyed. For the violence you're doing on our children. It's a real strange. Anyway, we worked something out. The school is still open. But, so that's, you know, parents, that they see that their children are spiritually benefiting, that materially benefiting. They want to see all the sides. Modern days, sometimes the parents just see for the material side. We have to appreciate, to give love and affection. So in memory for all the love and affection that our loving parents and mothers give, so that the American society has this Mother's Day. It's an American phenomenon. But it's interesting. It's, of course, probably it's like reason to buy gifts for your mother and the shops do it, but it's actually a nice sentiment to appreciate our parents. So I think when people become devotees, they learn more appreciation of their parents than before. But of course, if the parents try to obstruct somebody from being a devotee, then it's a different thing. There's a saying in Sanskrit, I don't remember, I can't remember that verse actually, but I remember what it means. It says, sometimes your mother's love may harm you. But if you eat haritaki, it's always good for your stomach. It sounds better in Sanskrit. The idea is, the analogy is that Krishna bhakti is like haritaki. It never harms you. But other forms of even well-wishers, friends, whatnot, if they're not Krishna conscious, even though they're well-intentioned, it may harm you. But sometimes you find parents that don't want their children to be Krishna conscious. Don't want them to get liberation. Because they're just focused on some misconceptions. And even though their intention is good, my mother, when she found out I was a devotee, her first reflex was that I should come and see me and convince me to leave. She told me, why don't you wait until you're old? So I asked her, how long am I going to live for? She said, parents don't know how long the children are going to live for. Then how can you say, wait till I get old? How do you know? If I'm going to die next year, then I'm already old. Then she said, well, why don't you become a Christian priest? Because you're born a Christian. And I said, well, it's all one God. And I found my spiritual master, I found my guru, so I went to serve my spiritual master. Just as Jesus had apostles, so we have the system that we should have a guru and a spiritual master, we should serve him. So initially she was trying like that, but then later she learned to appreciate. Now she stayed in a temple for more than a year in New Orleans community. She visited Mayapur twice, visits our Panihati festival. Bhakti Tirthamaraj saw her, asked me that I had to call her today and give her Bhakti Tirthamaraj's regards and best wishes. So my mother was coming and she's a horticulturalist, she's like a rose expert. So she said that in Mayapur the roses weren't being properly cut. You can't cut them like this, you gotta cut them like this, and so many things. So that's all I remember. But there's a whole bunch of things you gotta remember with roses. And so she was telling the rose people all the things they were doing wrong. She'd make up a bouquet, put it on Prabhupada's desk, and then Prabhupada was personally preaching to her. She fell into the water on the side of the Ganges and she went in right up to the top of her head. And then some devotee pulled her out. She told that to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada said, well, that means you're protected from here down. And then she had a stroke right up here. And they had to operate on her. And then she had an out-of-body experience where she saw her body. In fact, there was a seminar we had in Atlanta with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and myself and some experts from the society, outside people. And they were all sharing what is out-of-body experience. And my mother raised her hand and said, actually, I had one. I never knew what it was. She explained it. When they were operating, she actually could go out of her body and see the doctors operating on her. But she didn't realize until then it was actually, she was watching them operate on her. She just had like this vision of somebody operating on her. Then she realizes it was me. So. Then Prabhupada one time somebody was talking with him and said, well, maybe sometime Jayapataka Maharaj's mother can become a devotee. And Prabhupada looked, she is a devotee. So she is a devotee. She chants four rounds now. Sometimes. Sometimes she chants four, I'm not sure or not, but. So by Prabhupada's mercy, she became a devotee. She was always a devotee, Christian, but now she also kind of, she sees both. She doesn't have a dichotomy. You go into Russia and you see so many mothers are Krishna conscious, and of course in India you get the whole families. I don't know other communities. We like it if the whole family becomes Krishna conscious. I personally, like when preaching in India, many times I give initiation to old mothers. And then someone may question, well, how are they going to help the Sankirtan movement? They're not young, dynamic, brahmachari type, they're elderly ladies. But in the Hindu family, the older, elderly mothers, they control the show. Everybody has to follow what the mother says, right? All the sons, everybody. So if you get the mother Krishna conscious, you got a good stand, a good chance to get the whole family Krishna conscious. She's in charge of all the wives of the sons, the bomas, the whatever, the daughter-in-laws. So sometimes able to train and get them to become Krishna conscious. And then through the wives, and got the mother and the wife both working on the son. He doesn't stand a chance. So, I was thinking, that this road coming here, kind of off the Bhagavatam for a second, but it's very rough. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's bones are very fragile now because some of them have been, attacked by the cancer. So then I ask him, isn't it like too heavy for you to go on this road to come to the temple? And then he said, well, it's heavy, but they put pillows and we go really slow, and because, the cold. And he said, I'm mainly concerned I don't want the devotees to be in the cold. I don't think the devotees, he wasn't worried so much about himself, he's worrying about all of you. But I thought, it's not so cold anymore in the afternoon. You could have it at your house, so you don't have to take the risk. It's a huge risk he's taking, going over this bouncy road. One little jerk too much and he could, I don't even, Krishna forbid. So, you might consider, because it's now in the afternoons it's quite warm. To not, of course he likes to see Radha Damodar, but it's very risky. And I was just so moved at how, because I thought maybe, he's also, resistance is down, antibodies, but he said he was mainly concerned about the devotees, that they don't want them to be in the cold. So you can see whether it's too cold for you all or for him, but maybe he doesn't have to go through that risk, bouncy road. But I was thinking that was his motherly side. He's worrying about all you getting cold, while his condition is much more of concern. Everybody can put on a coat. As long as it's not too cold for him. But I think right now it's not so cold in the afternoon. And there's something you can discuss with the servants there. He mentioned to me how Radha Damodar, because they started out on a traveling Sankirtan party, so they're mobile deities. They're chala vigrahas. They move. And they go on processions sometimes, and rath yatras, and bathing ceremonies. And so very interesting. These are special deities worshipped by Srila Prabhupada. You go in a Gaur-Mandal Bhumi and you see temples, and they say this deity, like I have a picture of the deity worshipped by Radhakanta, worshipped by Shivananda Sena, who used to take the devotees from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. And there's a big temple, and there's a deity, 500-year-old deity. Or there's the deities of, we go on Navadvip Parikrama, the Gaur Gadadhar deities, worshipped by Dvijabaninath, the brother of Gadadhar. So these deities that have been worshipped by some associate of the Lord, by some pure devotee, they're considered like as a special tirtha. These deities were installed by Prabhupada? Something you look into, but they're definitely worshipped by Prabhupada. We saw the picture worshipping. Maybe they were installed also. I don't know, there was that time they'd installed 6 Gaur Nitai deities, and there was Radha Damodar there. I don't know if Radha Damodar was before that or at the same time. Or like in Mayapur, our Gaur Nitai deities, the ones we take on Parikrama, they were installed by Srila Prabhupada. And Radha Madhava were installed by Prabhupada, so was the Gauranga on Radha Madhava altar. So these are very special. I read in the Vedas, it says in some Purana that if a half-qualified Brahmin installs a deity, then the deity has effect for so many miles. A fully qualified Brahmin installs, then it's for a wider area. If a Vedantic Brahmin installs, then it's this much. If it's a very highly qualified, if it's Lord Brahma who installs, then it's for the whole universe has effect. If a pure devotee installs the deity, it's for the entire creation. So when you're worshipping the deity, be very careful, because maybe not affecting the 108-headed Brahma, some other universe. So, Radharani, once a Muslim in Bangladesh with a big beard, he came and said, why they say Lakshmi is mother, Sita is mother, why they don't say Radha is mother? He wanted to show off that he was a big pundit. So everybody's thinking. But actually one of Radharani's 1,000 names is Universal Mother. Great Mother. She's also mother. She's mother for all the devotees. But the devotees may not always address her like that, but she's also mother. She's also cares for us, guides us in our service to Krishna. She's the source of Lakshmi, source of Sita, source of all the Shaktis. So how can she not also be mother? But in her relationship with Krishna, she has other roles. But in her care for the devotees, bringing them to Krishna, it has a motherly aspect. The Shakti is more merciful than the Shaktiman. Anyway, Bhakti Chaitamas told me I had to leave on time. So I didn't want to leave, but then he said, well, if... Anyway, he said I had to leave, so... Please take nice care of him, and I suggested that sometimes he could let you do some soft kirtan, but he'll decide that finally. Anybody has any question? Yes, Prabhu? Mr. Sweet Tooth. I don't know if I have another sweet to give you. You got a Maha sweet ready. He always asks questions. You know that personal deities of Radha Gopinath that Prabhupada used to travel? They're in the Calcutta temple. I had the opportunity once, Prabhupada, when he went out to Mayapur, the first time he met Sridhar Maharaj, and he was going to see the land where our temple was going to be, whether we should buy it or not. So, that time they asked me to stay back. I was a low guy on the totem pole. But then they said you had to worship Prabhupada's deities. And I was so happy though, worshiping Prabhupada's Radha Gopinath deities. I don't know if it was... They gave me a crash course in being a pujari. I hadn't known how to do all the things exactly. Before I only had Jagannath, I didn't have Radha Krishna, so... I had the opportunity to worship those deities. And there's a wonderful ceremony Prabhupada used to do with the deities in Los Angeles, and we've been doing it in Mayapur sometimes. We do it every year during Gaur Purnima, which is the deity report, where they bring the deity down into a vedi, into a, like a sun in the front, a little more accessible, and that symbolizes the deities come to hear the report, and then the temple authorities tell the accounts and the preaching and the development to the deity. Then all the individual devotees come forward and offer their report for the year, month, day, whatever, what's the period. That we have that the deity is the incarnation. Lord Chaitanya and the Chaitanya Bhagavat said he'll come back in two forms. So some unscrupulous, people claim that they're the next, they're the coming back of Lord Chaitanya. I explained this in Vrindavan, I think. But actually the two forms are, he said, I'll come back in the form of the Harinam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And I also come back as the Archa Avatar, as the installed deities. Incarnation of the Krishna and the deity form. So we're getting the association of Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna through the deities. This is an opportunity for us to develop our relationship. You got that sweet? That was a sweet? Okay. What's your name again? Bali Maharaj Das. Any lady has a question? Any mother? I want to thank all our mothers here for their wonderful service. It's a day we should appreciate. Mothers? Confirmed? So any mother has a question?
Yes. Maharaj, it's so rare that you could come to Gita Nagari, and I know you came to specifically to see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, but will you please come back even after he's gone?
Sometime? How many live in Gita Nagari normally here? Who is a resident? How many are regular visitors to Gita Nagari? How many are going to be visiting in the future? So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he gave me some commissions, some services I have to do, helping his disciples. And he said also coming back to Gita Nagari for some festival. So he beat you to it. But I appreciate if you all... But he said that to the secretaries, you must invite him to come. So you're already the first one to carry out the instruction. Because I have very tight... I have a very tight schedule usually, and I don't know, like, it's not publicized when he said I should see the Rath Yatra, a beautiful in-house kind of Rath Yatra with a few hundred, 400 devotees or something. And so he suggested some festival, but they said, they told him, because we won't know that when that is. So he had to write, I'll give you that, if you, whoever wants it, my address. Well, they know now because we communicate a lot. And then he also said I had to visit West Africa. But I asked him for a blessing, I don't get malaria. So, some other things too, but... Yes?
When you come to Gita Nagari, can you swing over to Detroit?
Who's here from Detroit? Oh, so many. How far is Detroit? Well, Detroit, if they start to invite me, then eventually I'll come. Montreal's been inviting me for a few years, but I hadn't gone. And then this year, it's the second time I'm going. So they've been working on me to go to Toronto. So Toronto is very close to Detroit. I don't know if it's good enough for you. I'm sorry. What's your name again? Okay, thank you all. Hare Krishna.
Who else has a question?